Good morning, and you are listening to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. We have a great show planned for you today. Get comfy. It's a well-known fact that women are underrepresented in the field of STEM, aka science, technology, engineering, and math. And Komal Singh wanted to change that. Singh, an engineer at Google, turned author when a conversation with her daughter, where she claimed engineers are boys, led to her to pen her first STEM book. I'll be chatting with Komal Singh about her picture book, Ara the Star Engineer, and the changes she hopes to see in the world of STEM. That's coming up a little later on the show, but it's a training program that helps break barriers so women and girls can get the employment skills they need. Here to tell us more about it, in her shoes, is the Social Enterprise Coordinator from YW, Emily Digg. Thank you so much for coming in the studio this morning. It's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Tell me about what In Her Shoes is all about, Emily.
So In Her Shoes is an employment and entrepreneurship training program. For women, cis, trans, non-binary folks who are looking to improve their lives by making changes in their life. And we provide employment training and entrepreneurship training as well that teaches women how to do their own online business.
And how did this whole concept of In Her Shoes even begin?
This is the brainchild of the Director of Youth and Entrepreneurship, Jen Gordon, who has been thinking about where there are barriers and where the blocks are for women to have their own online business and to get good quality jobs, not just any job, but good quality mm-hmm. jobs that are on the path for careers. And newcomer women as well. Mm-hmm.
So are these women who have moved from different countries, immigrant women?
So for our women's program, these are specifically for newcomer women, so pre-citizenship, because we realized that there was a gap, right, mm-hmm. For support for women who had just settled here. And so what we're looking to do is, even before they become citizens, is to provide them employability and this online business concept.
So you teach online business to newcomers, and the challenges they face as, you know, a new immigrant or arriving new into Canada and trying to find jobs. I'm sure you've heard a lot of stories. So is there any particular one that you would like to share, like a real life story or experience?
Absolutely. I have so many, because so many women have actually gone through the program mm-hmm. now. We've probably had over 24 women pass through since the year and a half that we started. And one of our best stories is Esther. Okay. So Esther is 62 years old. And she came to Canada from Sierra Leone, a refugee camp in Sierra Leone from Liberia. In the refugee camp, she learned how to do African tie-dye t-shirts, never used a computer. So a lot of the skills that we build are digital, because, again, that's where the gap in the training is how do you move into this digital world and be able to use the social media marketing, Facebook, Google Mail, etc. So Esther had never used a computer before. On the first day of class, she learned how to type with her fingers.
That's cute.
And by the end of the day, she had sent her first email.
Wonderful.
And by the end of the week, she had sent her first, had opened up her first Facebook page. And we worked with her to be able to develop her product and her t-shirts, and she's a great salesperson face to face, and she also advertises on Kijiji. So for her, that was the realm that she wanted to be in. So she is one of our biggest success stories because she still sends emails and she still comes by and visits the program and all the women who are currently taking the program. So it's a really awesome, heartwarming.
That's amazing.
Uplifting story.
Yeah. And you also focus on youth as well.
Yes.
So tell me a little about that.
So this is a new program that is in a pilot. It's funded by Service Canada. And it is to overcome barriers for people who have had a hard time finding a job, okay. Right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be newcomers. It's anybody from 15 to 30. So it's a large youth category. And we teach employability skills using In Her Shoes as a platform for being able to experiment and experience what it's like to be in a work environment, what the expectations are, the routines, responsibilities, etc., as well as teaching life skills and creating resumes, being able to create a network also, mm-hmm. learning how to apply online, and really getting in there and the experience to be able to have that on your resume that you've worked, you know, at the In Her Shoes store. As well, not just the physical store as well, I just want to mention, we also have an online store.
Okay.
So this is where there's a lot of, so we do all the photography. We have a Shopify website that all the participants, no matter which program they're in, all bring their creativity and the ability to be able to do the posts on our website where we're selling the items that are in the store, photographing, shipping, the logistics of how to get it to a customer, mm-hmm. and as well as doing the whole product post. So they are fully versed in doing online posts and working on a website as well as retail. So that's kind of the unique angle program provides, is that it's not just a physical retail experience. Here, this is how you do customer service, but you get to do the whole business.
And you're talking about retail, so bricks and clicks business.
Yeah.
What's that? It's selling new and used accessories and shoes, I understand. So you have an actual store?
We have a physical store, yes. Okay. That's the bricks and mortar part. So that's okay. The bricks of the bricks and clicks. And we've called it that because we have the online store as well. So it's not just bricks and mortar store, which is the physical store that's at 84 Frederick Street. But we also have the clicking part, right? The online portion. So that's why we call it bricks and clicks.
And where do you get the products to sell from?
That's another really interesting aspect because mm-hmm. we get them donated from the community. So, okay. You know, that bag that's sitting in your closet that you haven't used or maybe only used once or twice, people are very willing to part with that because then it allows them to buy something new. mm-hmm. So all of our things are donated. We do have some brand new items on our website as well that we order from suppliers, and but those aren't in the store. And so all of our items are donated from our very generous community that support us every day.
And the programs that you have at the organization for these women, how are those initiatives supported? Like, do you get funding? Are you looking for community support?
So firstly, we're looking for community support in terms of making people aware and for the donations. Both programs are funded at the moment as pilots, but and one of them, like I said, the youth is Service Canada, mm-hmm. and the women's program is IRCC, which is Immigration and Refugee Citizenship Canada. Mm-hmm. And but the idea is to make the business itself sustainable. So that's where the social enterprise comes in. So all of these things are coming in. We call it a triple win because there's three kind of benefactors to what we're doing. There's so many benefactors. I can't just say three because so many people benefit in the circle.
Absolutely.
Of what the In Her Shoes project is all about.
So have you had women come in and say, this is it, this is too much for me, I can't deal with it? And, you know, because it does take a lot of learning. It's a whole new experience in a new country. And
with a new language.
With a new language. So how does one deal with that?
It's really hard, but what ends up happening is very quickly the women or the youth in the program become very connected to each other. So it becomes almost, it's almost an instantaneous network that you have of support. So if we had somebody struggling, you know, we, in one of our programs, we had somebody who just couldn't decide what to do, right? And that's understandable as well, because there's a lot of things that are going on in their life, right? The settlement, those kinds of things. So and she really just doesn't know what to do, but she's taken the energy from the group, which gives me goosebumps every day. Mm-hmm. To say, keep on trying, because starting an online business is scary. Starting anything new is terrifying even. It is. So sometimes you just have to take the first step. So just open a Facebook page. It doesn't really matter right now what your business idea is. It will develop, right? If you want to change, you can develop that over time. So just knowing that everything is fixable, everything can be changed, I think alleviates a lot of that pressure. And we make that very clear from the beginning. You know, like, you might start thinking that you want to do this, but by the time, you know, you're halfway into the program, you discover something else through whatever you've been doing in the program. And that happens too, and that's okay. That's okay.
And how long do these programs last?
So the youth program is actually 18 weeks. So we're about to finish our first pilot of intake with 8 women in the program. The women's program, 8 youth, sorry, okay. that are women. Mm-hmm. So the women's program is 8 weeks. And
is there an eligible criteria that they need to meet to get into these programs?
So, yes, first of all, they have to have had experiences of barriers, and being able to identify what those barriers are. We don't really make it like an interview to be able to get into the program, because we don't want to be a barrier ourselves.
Absolutely.
So we kind of eliminate that. We call it meetings, not interviews. For the women's program, you must... It's pre-citizenship, and that's pretty much, and you, obviously not Canadian, for that program. And then the youth is 15 to 30.
And once they finish and complete this program, and they are out in the world now, what kind of support you offer them once they are by themselves?
So with the, we're always available. Our doors are open for 11 hours a day. So, we like inviting people back into our space. We call it the launch pad. It's just a big room where everybody works in and trains in. So people are welcome to come back to ask for advice. The women's program has a mentorship aspect, mm-hmm. so they can come back and meet my colleague, Kieran, who is the employment and entrepreneurship coordinator. And she can guide them for up to 8 times 4 months after the program. And then we connect them with somebody in the community who is who does something similar, right? So that they have basically a lifetime support as long as their business is there.
Where can people find all the information they need?
Well, we have 2 places. We have our own website, inhershoesyw.com, as well as the YW site. Under employment programs, all the information is there as well. It's an online application that's right there in the information. All the eligibility is there. The start dates are there. The topics covered are there. And then, that's where all the information is. We're also on social media if you want to see what we're doing in the community. Mm-hmm. And it's a bazaar. We love going into the community. So mm-hmm. Taking our store to people who wouldn't necessarily come to us, mm-hmm. Either online or to the store. We love going into the community and doing that.
That's wonderful. For women who fear taking these programs and are skeptical about starting something, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to first read our website, and then I would also tell them to try it. It doesn't hurt to have this information. Knowledge and information is powerful, It doesn't hurt to try. 8 weeks is a short period of time. 18 weeks for the youth. You know, you get some really good job experience, meet some really awesome people. And yeah, be able to benefit like that. And yes, it's scary. We all know that it's scary. So we try to make that transition very easy, mm-hmm. adaptable to whatever the barriers are. We also bring in translators, okay. If that's needed. We provide childcare for the time the program's running, and we also provide transportation. So
that's wonderful.
The program is trying to eliminate as many barriers for either any of the programs to be able to get people to come in.
Thank you so much, Emily, for sharing with me and our listeners the work that In Her Shoes has been doing to support women and girls and youth in this community. It's a great initiative. And so, you are located on?
We're at 84 Frederick Street. There's a big blue wall there, lots of signage for you to be able to see us. And we hope to see you there.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Rashmi. It's awesome. Thank you for inviting us.
You're welcome. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with my next guest. Do you ever feel like a plastic bag? Hello and welcome back. Those of you who have just tuned in, you are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7. FM Radio Waterloo. My next guest is an engineering program manager at Google, a best-selling author of the book Ara, the Star Engineer, STEMist, diversity and inclusion advocate, Komal Singh. It's an absolute pleasure having you here, Komal. Thank you for coming in, and I would love to hear everything you've been doing.
Hi, Rashmi. Thanks for having me. Such a fun environment you have here, and I'm happy to be here.
Even before I get into the book, when did you decide you wanted to be an engineer?
Oh, right. So, this goes all the way back to my childhood, I would think. I don't think I knew I wanted to be an engineer, but I was really inspired by the environment I grew in. So my dad was an engineer, mm-hmm. and he really did use science as a tool to explain everyday wonders to us. To explain why do planes fly or why do ships not sink and why is the chai hot and cold coffee, why is, the cold coffee cold? So I think that's what really intrigued me as a child towards the, science-based fields. And I guess as just life happened, I started taking on more and more courses in the sciences, and I did my undergrad in computer science, and then I went on to do my master's in computer science. And then I started working as a software engineer, and then from there on a program manager. So life happened.
What inspired you to write the book?
Right. So this is about my daughter's childhood now. So I have two children. I have a girl who is almost 6, and then I have a boy who is almost 2. So about a year ago, she said something to me that really bumped me out. She saw me working at work and at home, and I was on a video call, and then she looked at all the faces of people who were on the call, and then she would ask me, who's this person and what does that person do? And I would say, yes, that's X. He's my manager. He's an engineer. That's Y. He's my peer. He's an engineer. That's Z. And there were 10 people on that list. And then at the end of it, she says, oh, mama, engineers are boys, isn't it? And that left me really bummed. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something that was fun and engaging to help girls believe they can be engineers if they want to be. It's not something that is confined to a certain kind of a gender. And I started thinking about writing a book. But when I was researching, what I discovered was that there is a lot of research published that less than 5% of children's books feature characters of color in lead roles. Mm-hmm. And we know that research shows us that girls actually start doubting their intelligence in STEM fields as early as 6 years old. So I kind of wanted to tackle the issue of lack of diversity in children's books, at the same time make it fun and whimsical to inspire girls to pursue STEM fields, STEM being science, tech, engineering, and math.
In your book, the characters you have in there are, like you mentioned, people from different diverse backgrounds.
Yes.
So how did you decide? And you have some interesting names as well given to those characters. Yeah. So tell me a little about that.
Sure. So there are four. Well, actually, the book is based on a girl called Ara, mm-hmm. who has a sidekick droid, Didi, and they both want to solve a problem of counting the stars in the sky, but they're not sure how they're going to do it. So they go to this fantastical land called Innovation Plex, where they meet four sheroes or superheroes, engineering superheroes. And the characters are based on real-life engineers who are, you know, pretty amazing trailblazers in their respective fields. They are innovators and inventors, and they have many engineering patents in their names. And I knew of these people because I've read some of their tech papers, or I've listened to their talks, and I kind of follow them on social media. You know, by way of working at Google, I also had access to them. And so I just approached them with my proposal or with my idea of what I wanted to do through this book. And the reason I kind of picked these four in particular is because they represent a spectrum of diversity, not just in cultural backgrounds, but also, you know, age brackets and their specialties within the field of science. You know, you'll see all kinds of hair colors and skin colors, really just reflecting the diversity we have in tech, but also in you know, our country and in North America.
And when you let your daughter know this book was coming out in the way it is, what was her reaction?
So she's here with me today, and she's, you know, looking in from the window. So when the book came out, I don't know if she quite understood that it was a full-blown publication in the stores. She thought it was more of an arts and crafts project, I think. But then, you know, she started coming with me to the author readings at schools and libraries, and she traveled with me to China for the book launch in Shanghai. And I think experiencing all that was fun for her, but then she also kind of perceived, or she could very, very overtly now see that, you know, women can do things. If they have a dream of writing a book, they can make that happen. If they want to be engineers, they can make that happen. So I think, or I hope, you know, it changed her perception of what women can be if they set their mind to it.
What sort of challenges, as an engineer yourself, have you faced or do you face at a workplace?
Right. So actually, Google is just a block down from here.
Yes, it is.
We can go there and have coffee after if you like. So I've been working in tech for about 15 years, and I've been at Google for 4. Before that, I was at a bunch of other tech companies in different roles. And I think the challenges I face are kind of, I would think, about around diversity. So there are very few women in tech. You know, about 25% of the tech workforce is women. Leadership roles, even less, I would say 5% or so. And then when you look at women founders of startups, it stands at about 2%, right? So the challenge that I face is not so much about the engineering problem itself. It is more about the cultural mindsets. I wish there were more women so I could just mm-hmm. talk about random things with them. Mm-hmm. So we could provide each other a support group. And I think, you know, when you go into a room full of 20 people and there are only about 2 people in the room who are women, it kind of plays things at a subconscious level. It makes you wonder whether you belong here or not, whether it's okay for you to have a voice or not. Mm-hmm. And I think I've found my peers to be very supportive, my male peers. But I think the restrictions that we impose on ourselves subconsciously that can be sometimes a bit of an impediment.
And you are also a diversity and inclusion advocate. How important is it having diversity in a tech industry? You just talked about it, but I'd like to know, being an advocate yourself, mm-hmm. has that kind of brought about some change? Is there an impact within the community? What do you believe in? How do you want to see this moving forward?
Yeah. I hope I am an advocate. So what I've experienced through writing this book is I've seen so many young girls say that they want to be space engineers, they want to be astronauts. There was a little girl who actually wrote her own book inspired by this book called Isabella the Space Engineer. And then she wrote on many essays about what she wants to do, and she wants to work as an engineer at a place like Google. So, you know, I hope that I am an advocate in that manner, that I'm inspiring girls to be you know, to be different things and to be engineers if they want to be. And then, you know, a lot of the products that we use every single day in our lives are built by tech companies. You know, look at search engines, look at mail, as in Gmail or emails. So everything that we are surrounded by in our daily lives, most of it is designed by people in the tech world. And I think it's very important that if we want to build universal products, if we want to solve problems for the world, we have a good representation of the world in the tech workforce. You know, the world is made up of 50% women. There are disabled people in the world as well. So we need to have women in the workforce to represent the needs and the requirements of the women population. We have people with disabilities in the real world. So we need to have that representation in the design tables, the brainstorming tables, the decision-making tables. So I think if we want to make inclusive products, build inclusive products for the world, we need to have inclusive teams as well.
Yeah, bring their minds in too with the ideas they present.
Correct, the perspectives that they have. You know, cars, for example, were mostly designed by male engineering teams, and then you will see that we don't really have a place where women can even put their bags in the cars easily if they're on the driving seat. There was a study done whereby, you know, they were trying to design body-based cameras so that you could take pictures anywhere. But the cameras were designed such that they would work well only if they were placed on the T-shirt, you know, of the camera holder. But when they did some more user studies, they found out that the positioning with respect to the cameras and the breasts wasn't working out well for the women, right? So these kinds of very simple perspectives can actually change the whole design process and the implementation process.
What advice would you give people starting in the field of writing? Writing is a whole different area. So tell me your experience in writing this book.
Yeah. So I'm a first-time author, and I've had a creative bent of mind. Even as a child, I would do a lot of creative writing, but I never thought that could get anywhere. It wasn't that good at all. But you know, writing was a process. It was a very iterative process. It's not like I wrote a manuscript and it was great from day one. It took me so many rounds of editing, working with my editor, working with some strategic folks from the publisher side to actually bring out my vision into writing. And, you know, the same holds true of the engineering world as well. It's not never really a one-person effort. It takes a team or it takes a village to build a product or get something out in market. So, you know, besides the basic skills, be it of writing, be it of problem solving in engineering, there is a whole other skill set that you need to have. You need to know how to work in teams. So you need to know how to collaborate. You need to have the creativity to be able to do something new and different. You need to also be courageous, because, you know, not everything is going to be rosy and not everything is going to work out all the time. And that happened to me in the world of a writer, of being a writer, and that happens to me in my engineering world as well. And I think that's one of the key messages that I wanted children to take away from the book, that, you know, life is about being a full package, not just an engineer or not just a coder or not just an artist. It's about being everything, right? Or a good package. And that's what they do in the book. They discover an algorithm of success, and that algorithm is composed of courage, creativity, coding, and collaboration.
Was there a time you thought, I'm not going to write this book anymore?
Yes, there was. There were times I got very harsh feedback from my editor because, you know, the things that I was writing about, for example, in trying to explain what an algorithm is, I mean, I live these words very implicitly, and I thought that, you know, people who are reading it would understand as well. So I think I was explaining it in a very different manner, which just wasn't coming across. So I got a lot of harsh feedback from my editor. And then I was just like, okay, why am I even doing this? I have a full-time job. I have to go home and do so many other things. You know, who knows whether this book is even going to land on the bookshelves or not. So why am I even trying to do this? But I guess I kept coming back to the same thing that such a book needs to exist in the world. Mm-hmm. Girls need to read such a book, right? So there were many times I almost gave up, you're right. But then I kept reminding myself that if it's not me who writes this book, who else would?
You just follow your gut and follow your intuition right?
Totally do, yes. And you also depend on your support network. So I have to say that for sure. My husband was a great support. Mm-hmm. My family was a great support. In fact, I did a lot of this work while I was on maternity leave. And my husband was taking care of the children while I was focusing on, you know, meeting the publishing timelines and all of that stuff. Yeah.
And how has community helped you bring awareness to this book and supported this book in different ways?
Yes, what a great question. So I think we live in one of the best communities in the world. I've been living in Kitchener, Waterloo for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And so community at work and also community at community. So this started off as a 20% project at work. And what that means is at Google, we are given 20% time to work on your passion projects. So anybody can work on what they feel very strongly about, as long as it also aligns to the company's missions and values. So I had a lot of support from my work because they gave me the 20% time to write the book. They gave me, in fact, some resources as well. So they gave me a few grants so that I could take on the publishing or the illustration work with the right illustrator and all that stuff. And then community. So I've had so many people who've helped me spread the message by inviting me to, let's say, author readings at school. So a good friend of mine invited me to speak with her class yesterday. And I think you know her too,
yes.
Carolina. So I was there. The Kitchener Public Library, they did a public event for the book launch whereby, you know, they donated about 100 copies to the children in the community. And I'm here now with you, mm-hmm. spreading the message through the radio. So I think people have really stepped up in whatever ways they can and help out a good cause. I should also add that majority of the sales proceeds from the book are actually being donated to a charity called Room to Read that focuses on girl education and child literacy in general in developing countries.
Well, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Where can people find the book?
Yes. So the book is in bookstores. So you can buy it at Chapters, Indigo, or any of the indie bookstores as well. It is also on Amazon. So you could buy it from Amazon. And of course, we do have a website as well. It's called arathestarengineer.com, which has a lot of resources for parents and teachers as well. Lots of activity sheets that can be used to introduce coding in a fun manner to children. Mm-hmm. And the website also has links to other, buying outlets.
So this whole journey from the time you began writing this book to where things are today, how has this experience changed you as a person?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think it has forced me to, like I was saying, to be a whole package, mm-hmm. not just an engineer. I realize I do have a job, but I feel like I do have an obligation to give back to the community. And it has changed me in wanting to do more, to be a good citizen. And it has changed me in wanting to, help others realize their dreams by helping them out in whatever way I can, be it coming to a radio show and talk about my experiences or talking to children in schools. So it has really instilled in me a desire to give back to the community and help girls realize their passion and their dreams.
What's next for you? Is there another book in the making?
Yes, there is. So we are working on book number 2.
Okay.
It comes out in about a year. And that's all I'll say for now. But it'll have a very fun theme. We'll be solving another big problem, but it'll be a fun problem to solve. And the book is being translated. The first book is being translated or published in about 12 countries. So that's the next thing as well, being able to support publication and book launches in these 12 other countries.
If people want to donate to the organization that you are supporting, where can they do that?
Oh, so you should be able to go straight on Room to Read to their website. And I'm sure there's a way to donate as well. And or any favorite charity of yours, you know, that you feel makes a difference.
And is there any words that you would like to give young girls? Mm-hmm. They need to, you know, keep going, keep doing what they wish to do.
I would tell them just aim for the stars. Mm-hmm. Just aim for the stars and go for it. Make it happen. You can totally do it. Like, you are your biggest asset and you're your biggest bet. So don't give up on yourself.
Thank you so much, Komal, for coming in and sharing your amazing journey. We look forward to more books in the coming years and wishing you the very best. It's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, Rashmi. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Tune in to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. And you can even listen live online on www.radiowaterloo.ca. If you have a story or want to share it, you can email me at onair with Rashmi, it's Rashmi at gmail.com. You can follow me on my Facebook page in Conversation with Rashmi or my Instagram feed at Rash Sanj. Until then, have a wonderful weekend and thank you for listening in Conversation with Rashmi.